And if we think that the world cares about us like God cares about us, man, have we swallowed that one hook, line, and sinker. How many of you in your heart have put God in a corner, so to speak, and been on a worldly pursuit? And realize about halfway, three quarters of the way into it, that this does not satisfy me. Did you know that people that pursue millions and millions and millions still sit in a house sucking on a revolver, wanting to blow their brains out? They've got everything to live with, but nothing to live for. But here we have the greatest work ever known to mankind, the Church of God. You're saved, you're born again, you're planted in God's church. You've got the most power in the spiritual realm ever. You can walk up to a lost sinner and you can change their eternal address by preaching the gospel to them. You can invite someone to church and you can transform a family. Why? Daddy got saved. He put the bottle down. He's not smacking mama around anymore. Mama gets saved. The kids get saved. Another kid gets saved. Another kid gets saved. One of them gets called to preach. One of them gets an evangelist, a missionary to Africa. What happened? Somebody decided to stay in God's will. Don't be drawn away. Don't get into that ship of forgetfulness. Don't get drawn into that ship of worldly cares. What about the ship of pride? The one thing God's allergic to, pride. Peter said, I go fishing. I'm sick of this. I'm going back to what I know. I'll fix this problem my way. You ever told that to God? You didn't think He was moving fast enough for you? Well, seeing how you're not going to move, I'll go. I'll do this. Ship of pride. They went back to trying to fix things the way they knew how to. We don't wait on God the right way. We're so trained by these little things right here. These little things right here, you can download stuff in, what, 3.25 seconds? Even faster now. Faster, faster. How many of you ever got impatient and angry at the drive-thru because it took more than 7 seconds to get your coffee in your hand? But remember when drive-thrus first came out? Wow, this is the most amazing thing ever. Now it's honk, honk, honk. What are you doing? Get out of the way. Can't be that difficult. Cream, sugar, coffee. Move. Right? We don't like to wait. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Joel 2:12 says, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, Psalm 27:14 says. Psalm 37:34 says, wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait. Wait on God. Sometimes we bow our knee with a prayer request, and guess what? We want it like that, and God says, well, you know, first I have to move in this person's heart. Then I have to get this person out of the way. Then I have to make sure this is done. Then I have to make sure that this and this are done. Give me a little bit of time. Work with me here. No, but we go walking around thinking that God's forgotten us, thinking that God's not hearing us, thinking that God doesn't care anymore. The ship of pride. The ship of pride. It's not about me. One of the most startling statements I heard, I asked someone just recently, what's your dream job? What's your dream job? If you could do anything, what would you want to do? Because I work in drywall and I hate drywall. Would you say amen? I gotta write a little song. I hate drywall. But he looked at me and said, it's not about me. He said, I consider this a ministry. It's not about me. I said, man, who invited you here today? Don't you know this is drywall? But that stuck in my heart. Changed my perspective. Now I dislike drywall heavily. But it's not about me. It's about them. It's about taking care of them. Sometimes it's about pride over a position or a lack thereof one. Some people just think they got saved and got involved in a church and God just inherited the greatest blessing that ever walked on two legs. I ought to be a teacher. I ought to be a leader. I ought to be this. Hey, I heard it put best one way. A guy said, I'm nothing but a glorified mud ball. Amen. God reached down in the dust and formed me and blew air into me. I'm just mud. And it's because of God that I accomplish anything, that I do anything worth recognition in the spiritual realm. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Sometimes people are just too proud to say, I'm sorry, God. And that relationship remains torn. How about the ship of sorrows running from the past? Peter. Peter had experienced true meaning in his life. Peter experienced true wholeness in his life when he met Jesus Christ. Peter experienced true purpose in his life. Hey, are you catching this? Is this making any application to yourself? You met real wholeness. You got really whole when you met Jesus Christ. And if you're in this room today and you're not saved, I submit to you that you're not whole yet. You're not complete. Because you have a Creator that yearns to be reunited with you. You got a God-sized hole in your life that only God can fill. A Christian's true happiness is in service to the King. The Christian's true fulfillment is in service to Jesus Christ. True purpose. True joy. Not happiness, but joy. You want that joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Where? Down in your heart. How are you going to get it? Serve Jesus. Serve Jesus Christ. Peter had all that. Jesus Christ pushed him to be more than he wanted to be. He saw the potential in Peter and started grooming him to be a leader. Perhaps you're in this room today and God's working in your heart about being a leader in some area. Maybe God's working in your heart about being called to preach. Maybe God wants you on the mission field. Maybe God wants you to be out knocking doors. Maybe God wants you to start a bus ministry. Maybe God's burdening your heart to be a Sunday school teacher. He's grooming you to be something more than you think you want to be. He was being groomed to be. He uncovered the fact that he was a future leader. Who am I? Jesus asked. Peter said, you're the Christ. It was Peter that gave that answer. He pushed Peter. Peter became bold. Who else got out of the boat and walked on water? Nobody. Nobody but Peter. Nobody but Peter. Hey, if it's really you, Lord, bid me come forth. Come. Okay. That was it. Could not escape that look on Christ's face, I believe, when he denied him for the third time and Christ came walking by him and just looked at him. The Bible says that Peter ran out and wept bitterly. Can I say I know what that feels like? A man that I worked with died. And God woke me up at 2:30 in the morning. Said, I want you to go to this wake. And He laid the whole thing out for me. He even told me the illustration to use about being on an airplane. Well, the guy stood up to ask anybody that wanted to come forward and to give testimony about working with this man named Dennis. And on the inside, my heart was beating through my chest. I want to tell you, you want to talk about fear being put on you? I don't know why I was so afraid, but I did not get up and speak. And what's the guy say? He gets up and he says, someone gave testimony about how Dennis used to fly on the airplane all the time. And the guy said, I'm trying to link an airplane with heaven. Now, God had already given me the illustration on going to heaven like being on an airplane. You can't see the pilot, but you're trusting him to get you from point A to point B. You're not asking to see his license. You don't need his credentials. You just sit down by faith, click, and let him take you to that place. So guess what happened? I said, I got to get up. Now my mouth is dry. Just about to get up. After all these people talked, he said, anybody else, anybody else? And I'm fighting it. I was just about to get up, and he said, well, I guess I'll move on. You want to talk about a sword going through my heart? When I got back to the church, I found a room and I wept. Bitterly. Sobbing. Do you ever see someone sob? You know, uncontrollably, like a kid. You can't calm them down. Can't calm them down for nothing. Just weeping bitterly. That was just me. I couldn't imagine how Peter felt. Being told, you will deny me 3 times. Then doing it and seeing that look on Christ's face. I wonder how our Christianity would change if we could see those eyes every time we denied Jesus Christ. You know, when the Holy Spirit says, why don't you go over there and talk to that person, give them a gospel tract. I'm too busy. They don't want to talk to me. Look at them. They're big. They're strong. They look like they don't even like me. Last thing they're going to want to hear is about Jesus. So we don't do it. Imagine if Jesus was able to part the heavens and you'd see that same look He gave Peter. How about you? Are the things you're running from in your life hurts? Hurts in your life that you've been trying to bury? You just don't know how to deal with it? Maybe you tried talking to a counselor? Maybe you just need to talk to the counselor. Maybe you've tried to bury it with work. Buying things, prescription drugs, alcohol. Maybe been molested. Maybe somebody left you, leaving you feeling abandoned. Maybe you tried to fill your life with different things, drugs, alcohol. Maybe you feed your flesh on the internet. All those holes in our life can be filled with the presence of Jesus Christ. What's happening to the church? Why is the church going after worldly cares? Why is the church so wrapped up in pornography? Why is the church so in debt in our personal lives that we can't give to the work of God? We get out of God's will. We get out of God's will. But I love the way the story turns now, amen? I love the way the story turns now. Look at verse number 4, if you would. But when the morning was now come, isn't it good to know that even though we can be wandering away from God, then bring the fish which you've now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Was not the net broken. Isn't it good to know that God's strength can never be broken? Net was not broken, but I have broken the microphone. The net was not broken. Then what's he do? Jesus says unto them in verse number 12, come and what? Come and dine. Not only does he have the provision that they needed, he's also willing to receive them and feed them. Amen. Even though they got off, the stability of God's will and chose instability. And even though they forsook him and left their calling, he still received them back and he fed them. And then he begins this wonderful process of reconciliation and restoration. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Can you imagine Peter? You know, at everybody else here at this fire, you know, they took off too. Why are you going to pick me? Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee, he saith unto them, feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Tried running from me with a ship of forgetfulness, feed my lambs. You tried running from me over worldly cares, feed my sheep. Tried running from me with pride. Saith unto him the third time, Simon Jonas, lovest thou me? Then Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? I believe this is probably the first time that Peter had to look Christ eyeball to eyeball. Face to face to that one that he denied. And admit, God, your will is the only thing for me. Nothing else satisfies me like you do. You know I love you. You know all things. Good, now that we got that straightened out, feed my sheep. Do what I told you to do. Hey, Christian, is it more important to pursue worldly desires? Have you found any meat? No. Feed my lambs. Hey, Christian, have you found anything better than watching other people come to Jesus Christ and watching them be made whole and restored and watching their family blossom? No. I haven't been able to find anything better than that, Lord. Feed my sheep. Children, have you any meat? Have you any meat? I'll close with this. And I'm not going to close in Baptist preacher fashion. That means like 17 more points. During a revival service, 4 months after I was saved, God called me to preach. And I tried walking away from God. I tried running from the call. I didn't do it on purpose. But I did it by doubt. I doubt God called me. I doubt that I could do anything. I doubt. Was it really you, Lord? But in the meantime, guess where I'm not? In the center of God's will. And things got dark. And things got unstable. And Jesus called me back to the shore one day, driving down the road with all of our kids. Well, not at that time, most of our kids. And all of a sudden, the van starts chugging. And I look over at my wife, and she looks at me like, why are you looking at me? I didn't do nothing. So we pull over into the breakdown lane on the rumble strip, and there's all the kids.
I still remember to this day watching their heads bounce up and down in the car seats like little bobbleheads. And God began to deal with me. I called you to preach. So I got out of the van and I said, pop the back. My wife's like, why do you want to pop the back? I'm going to check some stuff in the back. Well, there was a second little fuse panel in the back, and one time I had done something back there and the van started. So I said, I figure I'll try it again. The whole time God was saying, what do you think you're doing? I called you to preach. So I closed that thing. I said, pop the hood. My wife said, do you even know what you're doing? I said, yeah, pop the hood. I got no clue. I look inside. I see nothing but vacuum hoses and stuff. I'm like, this is not like an old-fashioned engine where I can just get dirty in. I don't speak computer. So I go reaching in. I said, all right, Lord, if you want me to preach for you, and I'm out there talking. My wife said, what? I said, nothing, honey. I'm just checking a few things. You want me to preach for you? I want you to start this vehicle, get it to my house without any problems whatsoever. I popped the thing on the air cleaner. I took the air cleaner, banged it out. The thing was practically brand new, white, you know. Popped the thing back in, snapped it up, closed the hood. All right, let's go. Did you fix it? Yeah, start it up. Vroom, the thing started right up. We drove all the way. We drove home. We parked that thing in the driveway, and that thing never moved again. Never moved again. We had to call a tow truck to get that thing down to the garage. God was saying, hey, Mike, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do my will. Mike, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Preach my word. Mike, do you love me? Yea, Lord. Feed my sheep. What's God got for you? Do you love me? Yea, Lord. God needs you to stay in His will. Things don't get accomplished without people. You're so needed by God. Just like with Peter, He wants to take you and turn you into something you never thought He could turn you into. But trust God and He'll do it. Just remember, it's not you. It's just you yielding and letting Him do it through you. As we close in prayer, God knows why He chose this message. If you're here today and you're not saved, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is one name under heaven given among men. But there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. I'm not talking about there was a time that I prayed a prayer. You know right now that on the inside that if you died, you still don't have assurance that you're going to heaven. You need to get it settled today. It's God's will. The Lord is not willing that any would perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants every single person to have eternal life. And He's given you the gospel. Take your Bible real quick and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Is that everybody? Say amen.
Amen.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to what? Say it. Say those last two words together. 3, 2, 1. Oh, that wasn't together at all. Say it out loud. Committed to what? My trust. Where you see that word my, put your name. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to Brother Mike Adams' trust. God has given you the most precious thing that anyone could ever have, the gift of salvation, and a charge to go and give it to someone else. He's committed it to our trust, church. What are we doing with it? It's God's will. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Let's pray. Father, how we love you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you, God, for the power of your word. Lord, and I thank you for Berean Baptist Church. Thank you for the people of God. And Holy Spirit, I do pray that you would please speak to people's hearts. It's your time.